From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Great Escape, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Nearest and Dearest Fellowship. The text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. So shall we ever be with the Lord. While we are here, the Lord is with us, and when we are called away, we are with Him. There is no dividing the saint from his Savior. They are one, and they always must be one. Jesus cannot be without His own people. For He would be a head without a body. Whether caught up into the air, or resting in paradise, or sojourning here, we are with Jesus. And who shall separate us from Him? What a joy is this! Our supreme honor, rest, comfort, delight is to be with the Lord. We cannot conceive of anything which can surpass or even equal this divine society. By holy fellowship we must be with Him in His humiliation, rejection, and travail, and then we shall be with Him in His glory. Before long we shall be with Him in His rest and in His royalty, in His expectation and in His manifestation. We shall fare as He fares, and triumph as He triumphs. O my Lord, if I am to be forever with Thee, I have a destiny incomparable. I will not envy an archangel. To be forever with the Lord is my idea of heaven at its best. Not the harps of gold, nor the crowns unfading, nor the light unclouded is glory to me, but Jesus, Jesus Himself, and myself forever with Him in nearest and dearest fellowship. Among the great classics of Christian literature, A. W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the final petition in the Lord's Prayer, But deliver us from evil. The world is under the domination of a great force that produces all of the misery and wickedness we see around us. That force is sin, or what Christ refers to in this prayer as evil, or more properly, the evil. So pervasive is this evil that it even infects the professing church, seeking to lead people into all kinds of error regarding the gospel. In the midst of this season of celebration, with all its attendant activities, may you know the reality of God's unspeakable gift, His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to continue this message, The Great Escape, here is Dr. Cairns.
There is a notion that what holds wickedness in check is greater education, greater prosperity, greater culture. That is simply not true. What holds wickedness in check is what theologians call the common grace of God. And as that is removed, whether men are educated or ill-educated, whether they are cultured or Philistine, you will see them indulge the wickedness that is native to their hearts. The wickedness of man is great in the earth. We read in Isaiah chapter 1, something that is usually taken as a description of man's depravity and man's sin. And I really don't have any great quarrel with that at all. It's true enough. But actually it's something much worse than a description of man's depravity. We read in Isaiah 1 verse 6 and 7, from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devoured in your presence. It's desolate as overthrown by strangers. As I say, there's something worse than a description of depravity here. What this is a description of the results of divine judgment. But such is the prevalence of wickedness that the Israelites would not admit that this was the judgment of God. They didn't believe that they were under judgment. If you want to get something of that mindset, you just try to tell an American that this is a country under judgment. And you'll find that the jingoism that's natural to most patriotic souls will suddenly get up in anger. This is not a country under judgment. I remember some years back when I was preaching in my home country in Northern Ireland, and I had a very heavy message to bring, especially to Free Presbyterians. I had a great conference service. It took me many months of deep searching of heart to preach the message. And in some ways, that one message stands out as different from anything else that I ever preached in any circumstances in any place. But in that message, it was part of the burden to make it clear that we as God's people would see the hand of the judgment of God on our home province. While most people were greatly smitten, there was a conviction in that meeting, the like of which we rarely see. I will always remember one patriotic Ulster man walking out, and he was not at all happy. And while there had been no mention whatsoever of America, his whole thing was that anybody who could say that Ulster was under judgment was simply saying that America wasn't under judgment. I mean, the logic of that escaped me. But it just shows you that people like the Israelites can be living in the midst of the judgment of God. Now, I believe that if we had eyes to see, we would see the judgment of God much more widespread than we can discern it. According to Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But such is the depravity of the human heart, they don't believe it's the judgment of God. And furthermore, they don't believe it because they don't see any reason why God should judge them. When Dr. Bob Jones had the audacity, the temerity, to give the opinion that the plague of AIDS was a judgment on sodomy and on sodomites, my, he got into a firestorm. How dare he? Who on earth did this self-righteous Pharisee think that he was to be able to talk about the judgment of God on sodomy and sodomites? And then there were many learned, sometimes pseudo-theological defenses of the position that there is no reason for God to do this. And why would God judge this nation or this people or this segment of the people? There is no reason for it. There is a refusal of all calls to repentance and a continuing in the very abominations that call forth the judgment of God. That's the picture in Isaiah chapter 1. And that's the picture that you cannot help but see today if you were to read Romans 1 from 18 through to verse 32, you would find that the very things for which God gave up civilizations in the past are true today. And the very things that mark God giving them up can be clearly seen today. I said this was a nation under judgment. I hear preachers again and again when they come to Romans 1. They expound it as the evidence of a sick society. But that's not what the Holy Ghost says. The Holy Ghost says this is the evidence of a society already under the judgment of God. That's what it says. And it's because of their ignorance of God, their suppression of truth, it is because of their corruption of the pure revelation of God. It is because of the prevalence of their idolatry that he gives them up to immorality. You will find that three times in Romans 1 it says, God gave them up. There is an ever-deepening plunge into the cesspool of iniquity and vicious wickedness of life. God giving them up. Wickedness with the judgment of God upon it. You read the same or similar thing in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. The idea of incontinent is simply uncontrollable in their passions, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's the wickedness that is so prevalent today. But this evil is not merely an impersonal principle. Behind it lies that sinister, diabolic figure that is known in Scripture as the Evil One. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is an evil personage who blinds and darkens men, who incites them to viciousness and stirs up every wicked passion, who opposes truth, who fosters the lie, and who deceives men, appearing often as an angel of light. This is the evil that's in the world. But it also invades the church. In Paul's first epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, and in verse 1, the apostle warns that these are not things that are merely the concern of the world, but in the church. Now, I'm not going to take much time on this, but I have had cause in the past to draw your attention to this. There are many parts, especially of the professed evangelical church, that seem to have a fascination with Satan and Satanism. And they draw all the lurid details of the picture of Satanism and Satan worship. And let me just say that all that they have ever dreamed, in due course, will appear in much worse form. You get to the climactic period just before the coming of the Lord. Satanic activity will be at an all-time high. So I'm not discounting its reality. But what grieves is that you have preachers who have made this a sort of Certificate X Christian sort of entertainment. And you have people up testifying about the devil and talking to the devil and their conversations with the devil and how they manipulate the devil or defeat the devil. And most of these people are living merely in a fantastic dream world. They know no more about confronting the devil, and if they ever had to confront the devil, they would be singing with a very different tune. But all the time, for the most part, they are silent on what the devil is really doing. You see, Satan is never more dangerous than when, if men's attention is going to be drawn to him, he can deflect it into areas that are ludicrous. And the whole idea of Satan at work in the world today is held up to ridicule by much of the fantastic nonsense that is being preached about his activity from many pulpits, while what he is truly doing is totally ignored. Now listen to what Paul said when he said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." This is Satanism. Wicked spirits and doctrines of devils speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, and so on. What is the devil doing in the church? He is active seducing people from the faith of the gospel. He is active in getting people to give heed to damnable doctrines, doctrines that damn the soul, to get them to embrace the lie rather than the truth, to embrace anti-Christianism in the name of Christianity. This is what the devil's about in these days. This is the great thrust of satanic energy in the church. When you look across Christendom today and you see that the great doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in the merits of Christ alone, without the addition of the merit of human works, when you see that that doctrine has been almost entirely given up throughout Christendom, you can trace it to the activity of Satan blinding the minds of men, turning them from the truth to the lie. When you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you can read of the progress of the lie. This is Antichrist at work. And when you see the lie being embraced in the church, when you see the finished work of Christ being replaced by the never-ending work of the popish mass, when you see the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ professedly being represented again and again and again at the words of some human priest, you have the lie instead of the truth. You have the darkness instead of the light.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.